So you were born in Texas?
No, I was born here at Ripley in Payne County.
And at what year?
1916.
And then you went to the Panhandle.
When I was three.
You journeyed out there. Do you remember how you felt leaving your home, or do you remember the trip at all?
I don't remember leaving here, but I remember a few little things. I was 3 years old when we moved. I remember a few little things. I remember the glass mountains.
Yeah.
I think they call them the Gloss Mountains now.
Yeah, I heard that it was there was an engineer who came over and was surveying those, and his name was Gloss, and they misspelled it. Glass. And that's how they...
Is that?
Yeah.
And that's about the only thing. And then I remember arriving there and a few little incidents, like cutting my own hair.
How did you travel out there?
My folks had an Oberland touring car, and the wagon with the, covered wagon. And my mother would drive the car on ahead and then stop and wait till Daddy caught up with the covered wagon.
Our car and a horse-drawn wagon.
Yes.
Wow.
And some of the times, Mama would drive the wagon and Daddy would drive the car. And we children, there were four of us when we left Ripley and went to the place out by Goodwill. But, and as I'd said earlier, my youngest sister was born out there.
You remember where you rode mainly? Was it in the car or the wagon?
I don't know that I could say I rode mainly in either one. We changed off as suited us, I guess. And then when we returned to Payne County 3 years later, we moved the same way.
With the horse and the
wagon. And we would sleep in the wagon at night. You know, we had bunks somehow, where how we slept in the wagon. In the wagon at night.
Kelly, I wanted to say you're free to interrupt and question.
Okay.
I mean, don't think you're stepping on toes.
Okay. Well, do you mind if I just slide this over here a little bit closer?
I told her you'd do this.
Okay.
So, but I, if you want to project and ask questions, that'd be great. So,
okay.
I mean,
okay.
That's
well, I got here a little late. May have already answered this, but what precipitated your family moving to Goodwill from Payne County?
My daddy was 42 and my mother was 29 when they married. So my daddy had been in the race here in 91 and took the farm at Ripley, right on the edge of Ripley. And sometime later he had gone out with someone to the Panhandle and he loved it out there. So he bought a quarter section there southeast of Goodwill, and the folks lived there for the first year they were married and then came back to Ripley, and then we moved out again.
What did he love about the Panhandle?
The story is that his brother said, but why do you like it out there? And Daddy said, oh, but you can see so far. And my uncle said, but what can you see?
It does seem odd today, thinking of somebody trading their quarter section near Ripley.
He kept that.
Oh, he did?
Yes, it's still in the family.
Oh, so he didn't have anything to lose, really, by moving out there. He still had it here.
No, we still had the farm.
But he didn't stay very long out there.
He had heart trouble, and it was too hard on his heart. And the elevation, I guess.
Yeah.
And so we had to come back here.
And you rented that land out or leased it?
Rented it out. He sold that then in 1948, I believe it was. and kept the minerals. We still had the minerals from that. He also had bought another quarter section and another 40, so that we had 360 acres.
Oh. Is the mineral, what do you have, is there anything on there that's like a natural gas or oil?
Gas.
Gas, yes. And then you, were you, do you remember when you came back? You were a little older then, right? You would have been six or so when you...
Six.
And what were your feelings about leaving the panhandle? Was it...
Oh, I was excited about coming back to Ripley. I could remember a little bit about it, and because we talked at home about our friends back there. And so I was kind of excited about coming back. And I'd had a year of school at the little Frisco Country School.
Tell me about that.
I beg your pardon?
Tell me about the Frisco School.
It was, I think, a mile and a quarter east of our house. And we either walked to school or drove a buggy, my older brother and older sister and I, after I started to school. And years later, when I was back out there, the school had shrunk. It wasn't nearly as... But my grandpa, who was a teacher, came out two different terms and lived with us there and taught school. He was my first grade teacher. I was scared to death of him. But of course, in school, we had a washstand at the back of the building with a pail of water and a dipper, which everyone used. And the first, one of the things that impressed me so was I was just printing, as we had been taught. But I saw those older children at the blackboard writing, and I thought, well, I can do that. So I wrote the THE, and I thought that was beautiful. And I never printed after that. We had, I guess it's box suppers or pie suppers or something at the school at times, and we put on programs. And my first appearance on stage, I recited Mary Had a Little Lamb.
To thunderous applause, no doubt.
I'm sure. I was embarrassed.
That was your... The programs at school, did you have those often, do you remember? Or did you...
Not too often, no. But
do you remember what other people did for the program?
No.
only your Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Yes, it was. That was about all I could handle right then.
When you moved out to the Panhandle, what was what kind of living conditions did you have there? What kind of house did you have out there?
My daddy had built a house when he and Mama went out there, right after they were married. It was a frame house, and three rooms downstairs and a big room upstairs. And then I guess we were unusual and ahead of our time. We had an attached garage.
Hey. Yeah.
It's not something you hear very much of, but at that time, you know, either they just had a barn that they would put the car
At Ripley, we had the car shed out a little ways from the house, but no, that was just
well, it makes sense, you know, because you wouldn't have to get out in the weather to get to the car. I mean,
who went any place though? You know, very seldom did we get out and use the car, because I guess we would generally go to Goodwill, which was 5 miles, on Saturday for groceries. Guymon was 12 miles away, and that was an experience to get out and go to Guymon.
You remember, as a child living out there, going to Guymon? I mean, like, what you...
Mm-hmm.
It was an adventure.
One thing I remember about... I was walking ahead of the folks down the street, and a young man approached from the other direction. And I would step aside one way, and we just changed positions back and forth before we ever got around each other.
How old were you when that happened?
Oh, I suppose I was 4 and a half or so.
That's stuck in your head this whole time,
mm-hmm.
dancing with that guy.
Yes.
Well, do you remember things at the time when you went out there that you would... You had brothers and sisters.
Yes, I had an older brother and an older sister and a younger brother when we went out there. Then my younger sister was born in 1922, April.
Do you remember anything, the things that you would do for fun or the games you played when you were out there?
Mm-hmm. At school, we would all play tag, or addy over, I guess.
Can you explain the rules for Annie Over?
Beg your pardon?
Annie Over, the game. How do you play that?
Oh, you just throw... How did we play that? You throw a ball over and say, Annie Over, and what is it? Or...
Well, my mom used to play that with me.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking she cheated me a little bit. Because she used to always... She'd catch the ball and come over and hit me with it. And I'm thinking...
Yeah, it was something like that.
Everyone else I talked to just said you had to touch the people with the ball.
Yeah.
She took it a step further.
She slapped me in the head with it. The tag, and then Annie Over, and do you remember anything else you would do for...
Oh, I suppose we... The boys would play some ball... And I can't remember playing a whole lot at school. We had neighbors with children that we would visit them, or they would visit us, several different neighbors. And I guess us girls would play dolls. Somewhere there's a picture of some of the children at our place one sunny Saturday afternoon, and then I have a picture of my sister and I with our dolls on the front porch.
So when you moved back to Ripley in 23, right?
Yes.
You must have been a little sad that you're leaving friends and...
Well, I think most of them had moved. There were people who came and went, and I can't remember. Although we did write for a time, we did keep in correspondence with... there was Lucy Jordan was my age, and we exchanged letters a few times after that. But no, I can't remember that. It's saddened me to leave.
Do you remember feeling you were happy to get back to,
mm-hmm.
to Ripley?
Mm-hmm.
How long did you stay in touch with people from the Panhandle that you knew? Was it just
not too long. Now, there was one or two families that the folks kept in touch with. And of course, the folks who moved onto our place when we left, they kept in touch with them. And then in 1932, my brother went back out there and immediately married one of the girls that we'd gone to school with. It was her sister and husband who lived on our place there. So,
had he been in touch with that girl at all? He just hooked back up again.
Did you have any chores? Do you remember any chores that you...
I can't remember doing chores out there, but I probably gathered eggs, things like that, and of course did the dishes and did a little cooking. I'd stand on a chair at the stove and stir the gravy, and I'd make custard with the pan down on the chair. I remember I got the eggs beat, and Mama was going to pour the milk in. I thought, oh, I'll catch a spoonful of milk. Of course, that splattered everywhere.
What do you remember eating out when you were little out there? What was it?
Well, the lady who stayed when my sister was born cooked up a whole big bowl of guinea eggs, and she wouldn't let us kids have anything else until we ate all those guinea eggs. It seems to me that way. Prior to that time, guinea eggs had been a treat, but that cured us. But we had meat and potatoes and gravy and oatmeal. But one year while we lived there, my daddy came back to Payne County, and he and his brother went to Arkansas, and he brought back a load of apples in the back seat of the car, filled that up with apples, and that was wonderful.
Fresh fruit was a good treat for you all.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm.
You can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So when you moved back to Ripley then, what, your dad continued to farm, or did...
Yes, farmed.
And you went to school in Ripley, was that right?
Yes.
How did your life change when you moved back to Ripley? Do you remember taking more responsibility?
I remember that I was a little intimidated at such a big school and such a big class, but... we had the dishes always to do and kitchen to clean up and help. I helped milk quite a bit, not all the time, but I helped milk. And sometimes I'd have to pitch the hay. When they were putting the hay in the hay loft, I'd have to pitch it back. And help with the garden and laundry. And then in 1933, my mother was appointed postmaster at Ripley. And I worked in the post office then and kept house at home. I got out my old diaries today. The first one was given to me for my 18th birthday, November the 3rd, 1934. And I was reading through that during 35. I did an awful lot of house cleaning and scrubbing and cooking. And washing.
And in your diary, you were talking about how much you enjoyed doing.
Yes,
that.
Yeah. You know, just a few little lines, but I say, you know, I did this and this today. Some days I said, and I'm sure am tired. But I worked in the post office then during my senior year in high school.
What'd you do in the post office?
Everything that needed to be done, you know, sort the mail, put it up, sell stamps, money orders.
I guess, did you already know pretty much everyone in town, or did the post office kind of pretty well solidify that?
I knew everyone.
Knew where everyone lived?
In town, but of course there were two rural routes.
Okay.
And I knew the names, but I didn't necessarily know all the people on the routes.
You remember things you did when you moved back to Ripley and when you were a little older what you would do if you had free time, or what you would consider fun things to do, or games to play as you got older in Ripley?
One of the things that our family, we children, really enjoyed during the summertime was laying out in the front yard and looking at stars, and Mama would tell us about them. And we would play that when I go to California, I'm going to take a start with an A, and the next one, you know, go on down the line. You had to keep up with, I'm going to take name whatever, all of them prior to you had said. And,
you could remember the longest string.
And sometimes we'd one of us would start a story, making it up, you know. We'd just make up a story and stop right in the middle of something, and the next one had to pick that up and go on, weave into the story what they wanted to. And we never thought that we were that was a learning experience, but I see it was now, you know. But we like to do things like that. And had lots of paper dolls and make up stories with the paper dolls and the families of the paper dolls. And, we were part of Ripley is built on my daddy's homestead there, so we were right there at the edge of town, and we always had friends up where we could visit them.
So you mentioned playing when I go to California.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of brings me to the Dust Bowl period, when you would have, I guess you would have been about 16 or 17 when...
Along about 15, 16, when the Dust Bowl started, the dust storm started real bad. I remember we had one wind and dust storm while I lived down by Goodwill. And what I remember about that is that it was very frightening. The wind was blowing so terribly, and it had just turned black. And my grandpa said he was going upstairs and hold the house down. I thought he, you know, I took that seriously.
Yeah.
But that's the only dust storm I remember during those years.
That would have been in the 20s.
Right? In the 20s.
Yeah, 2023.
But that wasn't the usual thing then. That was different.
And your brother, you said, moved out there back there in 32.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been right at the beginning of the worst time in that area's history.
Yes, he and his wife lived there on the place during really bad times.
What was his name?
Preston Shoup.
We're going to be talking to people in the Goodwill area in 2 weeks.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. And,
well, of course, he's 89 now. He lives in Arkansas and has for many years.
S-H-O-O-P?
O-U-P. S-H-O-U-P.
Would it be a good thing to mention his name or a bad thing?
It doesn't matter.
Didn't know if that opened some doors or shut it.
Now, there probably are some of the Murray family still there. That's who he had married, but now they divorced. They were just married 3 years.
So how do you feel, do you think the Dust Bowl impacted your life in Ripley?
Yes, it did, because we could see, we had the dirt rolling in there too from the west. When they'd have a dust storm out there, we'd still have it rolling in back here.
And what did that look like?
Well, it was just a lot of, it wasn't, it didn't look like it did out there, but it just big clouds of dust coming from the west and sifting into the house.
And did you know how bad it was out there at the time?
Yes, we did, because of our connections at, while we were there, or out there. And my daddy wasn't getting any rent from the place during those years.
That's my next question. Yeah. So what did he just let them have it for, I mean?
Yeah, they didn't. They were supposed to be paying on crop basis, and if you didn't raise anything, why, you didn't pay anything.
Yeah.
And finally came to the conclusion that probably he should have been getting a little rent, but he didn't.
Did he ever go out to check on the property, or did he?
No, he went. He went out once. My brother and his wife came back for just a little while, and Daddy took them back out there. And then he and I went out. My daddy and I went out in September of '34, right after I graduated from high school, and my brother and his wife had a baby. So we went out, and finally I said to Daddy, as we drove mile after mile, it looked like it had just been burned. And I said, why did they burn off all this land? Daddy said that sun burned. It just looked like all the pasture land out near there had been burned. And, you know, there just wasn't anything after.
So, when you came, you were here during the
worst part of the Dust Bowl.
Worst part of the Dust Bowl.
Yes.
And the worst part of the Depression, really, too. You were
yes.
out here.
Yes.
How do you feel your life changed when times got a little tight, money-wise, and... Mm-hmm. You remember, you know, changing?
I remember when the stock market crashed, and my daddy had some money, not very much, but some money. It looked like a whole lot to us then, and he lost every bit of it in that. But I thought, well, we never saw it anyway. And I thought at first, it won't ever matter to us. We won't be affected. But of course, we were like everyone else. And there were many people around Ripley who just didn't have anything. And the saddest thing that I saw, I think, in all those years was a family in town in Ripley who got put out of the house onto the street. Just moved out onto the street. And I don't know what finally became of them, but I know they just lived out on the street for a while.
The bank just repossessed their home?
Well, they were renting.
Oh, okay.
And, but I...
How did the town react to that? Did somebody take them in, or...?
I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. But I knew my daddy to hire a man who wanted some work to go down in the timber and cut wood. Not that Daddy needed it, but the man wanted to work. And then I saw him turn around and sell that wood to people who needed to buy wood. He sold it for less than he had paid them. Then he sold it for...
Yeah.
Well, then I realized that in both instances, he had allowed the people to keep their dignity. On the one hand, the man had worked for some money. On the other hand, the people had bought the wood. And that was kind of the man my daddy was, you know.
Well, for a lot of people, dignity was all they had.
Yes, yeah. And they were eager to work, not for a handout, but to work for something.
You remember a lot of people coming through the area looking for work or needing
I help? Remember panhandlers coming through a lot, even before that. Even before the Depression, there would be young men going through the country and stopping, wanting to sleep in the barn or wanting something to eat. And Mama always fed them and talked with the young men whenever they came by. And we were off the main road then after 33 Highway was put in. The road past our place was not the main road to Cushing anymore, so we got less of that sort of traffic by.
But do you remember any people coming through that weren't treated so friendly or that weren't desirable? Or
I don't know that we encountered any.
But you weren't afraid of any of the panhandlers?
No. No, those were the days when you weren't so scared of things.
Did you know people from Ripley that moved out, you know, that couldn't make it through the Depression and headed out somewhere else?
I can't write offhand recall. I know that there were people who did. Many people went to California. But I don't remember any in particular. Now, after I was married, and I was married in December of 35, I knew more people then who went west. To California, or one of the girls I graduated with, she and her husband went to Idaho and stayed there.
Did you lose any good friends or close friends in Ripley when they moved out? Did you remember?
Oh, well, I don't know that I had any close friends who moved away then. No.
How did you meet your husband?
Well, his brother, he graduated Perkins in 1931, and then his brother came to Ripley to school in that fall and graduated in 32 in the class with my sister. And we just got acquainted with the group there. Some of them, his cousins, had started coming to Christian Endeavor in Ripley. They all live between Ripley and Perkins. And actually, Verlin went with my sister, my older sister, a little bit. But she really didn't want to go with him.
So you picked up where she left off.
Well, sometime later. It was a blind date only because we knew each other.
Yeah.
But a friend of mine was dating her cousin of his and said for him to get a date for Verlin and for his brother. And there were three couples of us went out. On my 18th birthday, and I never went with anyone else again.
He was about 3 years older than you, right?
Five.
5 years.
Was that a big age difference at that time?
No, never. After all, my daddy was 14 years older than my mother.
Right, that's what I was going to say.
13 years, I guess.
What did you guys do when you went out? What was your...
We went to Cushing to the show a lot. And that was the usual thing, go to the show. And occasionally go to a street dance. They had street dances during the summer down at Ripley. Or Bob Wills would be at Perkins sometime. Now, I couldn't dance, but I liked to go, even though my folks didn't want me to.
Do you remember going to Bob Wills shows in Perkins?
Mm-hmm.
How were they?
Well, they played for dances there.
Yeah.
Oh, that was great, you know.
I'm a big Bob Wills fan.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. I go down to Turkey, Texas. Every year they have a big Bob Wills celebration down there. He lived in Turkey. All the old guys get together.
Yeah.
And make a lot of noise.
Of course, they were on TV. On
KDOO.
Radio out of Tulsa for a long time.
My mom had a crush on Tommy Duncan.
Oh, yes.
What about you?
No, I don't know that I had any crushes on any of those fellas.
She said he had ugly teeth. She'd have a big crush on him, then when he smiled, she wouldn't.
Ended it for him.
Yeah, until he closed his mouth again.
Do you remember any of the shows, the movies?
That
you saw at the time?
Oh, I know Shirley Temple show. I read about some of them here today when I was going through here, but I here on March the 21st of 1935 I the day before I had written Dust Still Settling, and then the next day it sprinkled. Well, we were going to look at...
Well, you probably really liked it when you... rain had kind of cleared the air a little bit.
Better find a Saturday night. Let's see. Never went to the show that Saturday night.
What's your entry for your wedding day?
I may not want to tell you.
We'll leave the room and you can say it into the microphone.
Went up to school. Wait a minute. That's the wrong year. Here. Worked till 3 p.m. That was at the post office. Married at 6 o'clock at the Christian Church at Perkins by Reverend Walter Fiscus. Not bad at all. I remember during the ceremony, I thought, gosh, what if I don't like being married? And then I looked at Reverend Fiscus, and his nose was crooked, and it kind of tickled me or something. Anyway, I got past that then.
Funny.
And the next day, Sunday, I wrote, Still Married.
Oh, man.
Okay, here's one time we went to see David Copperfield. And I know we went to Shirley Temple shows.
What was it to get in, a nickel, or how much was it?
I suppose probably a dime, because I remember one time Berlin just had a quarter. But we got it.
Well, he probably sprung for popcorn and
I don't soda think, no, not much of that. Lucky to have the quarter. But,
so when did you start that diary?
the 1st of January of 35.
And that continued through, for how long did you?
Well, this was 5 years, and then this one is 5 years, but I think there was a gap.
And you wrote in it daily?
Yes, you know, just
short entries?
Just as 3 or 4 lines.
No, that's really hard to do. I mean, to continue to do that day in and day out.
I think there were times that
sometimes life gets in the way. I wish I had done something like
that. See, there were times I missed.
Well, after you married, did you live? Did you live with his parents for a while?
For a while, I stayed at home because I was keeping house and working in the post office both, and my folks needed me. And then we lived in a little bitty shanty. 2 little bitty rooms, and the furniture we had was mostly what Verlin made a kitchen table and a kitchen cabinet, and hung a box-like thing on the wall for a dish cabinet cupboard. And we had to, he'd taken an old car seat and made, I guess we'd call it a love seat now, and I would upholstered it and covered it in cretonne. Had a little dressing table made with a couple of orange crates with the top across and cretonne curtains around it. And
what's cretonne?
Well, it was a cheap and flashy cotton material. You know, it's usually big, flashy print.
Yeah.
And just a cheap material.
I saw you'd written on there about your flower or feed sack clothes.
Oh, yes. Yes, you know, that was one of the mainstays I was using. Feed sacks and flour sacks, and you could make some really cute things out of them. I remember one year in Home Demonstration Club, I think there was a dress review, there was a category for sack dresses. And I know I had made myself a suit out of unbleached sacks. They were heavier than the flour sacks that I had entered the dress review with that.
How late in your life did you wear feed sack dresses? I mean, you remember?
Oh, well, after we went to Hooker, then you went and bought the feed sack.
Yeah.
to get cerebral. So I still made some of my dresses and shirts from a little boy and little dresses from a daughter who was born in Texas County in 44, because you could get some prettier sacks than you could material even.
Yeah. Do you have any of those feed sack dresses at all left?
No. Hmm. No. Who would have ever thought they'd want to see them again?
I've never seen one before. I don't think I've ever seen
one. Well, you might have seen a bunch and didn't know what.
That's true. That's true. Well, and what? So you moved back to Texas County then?
My husband and I moved back out there in 43. We had friends who had moved from the Garner area back here for a while, and we made real good friends with them. So when they went back home to Texas County, they said, told Berlin come harvest, you should come out work in harvest. This was, of course, the Depression was lifted then, and this was starting war years,
right,
the war. So that's how come we went back out there. He went out and worked for a gentleman who farmed just vast acreages. And he liked Verlin so well, he wanted him to come take a full-time job. So we went out there, and he worked for this fellow.
Do you remember when the Depression, you know, started to fade and more prosperous times mm-hmm. came back? Do you remember anything in your life in Ripley changing? Do you remember, like, being able to do something different or any changes at all when a little better times came through?
Well, since my mother got the job at the post office, it eased for us better than it did for other people, I think. And I've thought about this a lot, and, you know, I never thought we were poor. I never did think we were poor. But I can look back now, and we were. But it was just, I felt very secure because we owned that place at Ripley and we owned that place at Goodwell, and we weren't poor.
Can you say you look back now and you see that you were poor?
Mm-hmm.
What do you see that tells you that you were poor?
Well, poor by the standards of today.
Yeah.
I guess I'd say.
Yeah.
We didn't really go without. We had to do with less. But we just, that was the way it was, and we did. We did it. And I think, I don't know if you read on this or not, but I had written down, remembered this, when, after Verlin and I were married, he said, well, I can promise you this, we'll never miss a meal. We may postpone a few.
That's a good way to put it.
Yes.
You'd also written on there, ceilings caving in.
Out at Hooker, yes.
Okay, let's go. So in 43, you, he gets a job helping that guy.
Yes, helping with farming, ranching and farming.
So once again, you pack up to head out to Texas County.
Yes.
What did you think about that?
Oh, that was the great experience, you know. Verlin had never lived away from his parents. Well, I hadn't either. I had lived away from Payne County those 3 years, but it was a little daunting and a little exciting. And at that time, 330 miles was a long ways from home. That's about what the distance was. But
how did you travel out there the second time?
When Verlin and I moved out, we had a truck. We had gone out with our pickup load and then brought Henry's truck back and moved the rest of our things with the truck.
Where did you live? You lived by Hooker.
14 miles northwest of Hooker.
West. So you were getting close to Kansas at that point.
We were 3 miles from Kansas. Hugoton was just north of us.
Yeah.
And Liberal was east of us, farther than that, but it was east of us.
You were going out to Hooker. And same time we did our Goodwell Guymon tour, we're also going to Liberal and seeing some people there. And I'm sure we'll be going right by your place.
Well, the house is gone now.
Is it?
It was sold where we lived at Hooker. The house was sold and moved off of the place.
What kind of house did you move into in 43?
It was a little four-room. House.
Yeah.
Wood.
Better than the first house you...
Yes, it's better than... Well, we hadn't lived there all that time. That's just where we lived there a few months in that little shack.
Yeah, all right.
And then we moved to a rented place. And then later we had bought a 10 acres and moved a house on it ourselves. That's what we were living in when we moved to Hooker.
And the house that you moved into in Hooker was purchased and moved off?
Yes, some years after we left there.
Right.
So that it's not there now.
There's something I was wanting to talk to you about. A lot of people we interview, there's a lot of house moving going on. Like you said, you moved a house onto 10
mm-hmm.
acres.
Mm-hmm.
People bought your old house at Hooker and moved it off.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people we talk to talk about they'll buy a house and move it to their land or move,
mm-hmm.
Their house was bought and moved off. And I didn't know all that house moving was going on.
Oh, yes.
Would they move it with big trucks, I guess? And
I don't know. We were not there. And we didn't own that. The man that Berlin worked for provided housing for his hands. And that was the house on the place where we lived.
So what was life like your second time out there?
We arrived just shortly before a terrible snowstorm. And it snowed and snowed and snowed. And we were snowed in all winter only because Verlin had to get out and work. They had moved 600 head of cattle down to Optima on a 6,000 acre pasture. And then came this storm, and they had to try to get through to haul feed to the cattle because, of course, the pasture was covered up.
Yeah.
And the cattle all lived through the winter, but after the spring came and they moved them back home, they just started dying like flies because they'd used all their strength through the winter, and they just lost an awful lot of cattle that way. But now I don't remember what your question was.
Not either. I think I was talking about moving houses.
Well, something.
I said, what was your life like the second time?
Well, so Richard and I were there by ourselves an awful lot. And I had never burned coal. And as I said, I can't rightly say I burned coal that winter. I just tried to for heat and also for cooking.
Yeah.
And it was a nasty winter. One day I thought, well, I'll toss a little kerosene in on the coal and get it started to burn. It exploded.
Oh, man.
And Richard was standing right behind me. He was not quite 3 years old. And it singed off his eyebrows and hair and did me about the same way, I guess. But
you never did that again?
I didn't do that again. I just was cold. And I know what you talked about, the dust in the house.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Judith was born in August after we had moved out there in the fall. And she was... It was the next spring, I guess. She was several months old. And one afternoon, I had wanted Richard to take his nap. And he wanted me to put Judith on the bed with him. So I did. Well, he wouldn't lay still. He just rolled from one end to the other and all. And he wasn't going to sleep, so I had gone in and picked Judith up off the bed. And I had not much more than gotten back in the living room when the ceiling fell, plaster ceiling,
mm-hmm.
right on the blanket where she had been lying. And it was just, the dirt was, the ceiling, or the attic was just full of dirt from the, and the walls between the outer side wall and the inside wall too, just from the years of dust storms. We had one pretty good dust storm that first spring we were there. It's the only dust storm we had in the 6 years that we lived there. I was trying to iron that afternoon. I just was having a terrible time keeping the dust off of things as I ironed, and neighbors came up and said, "Well, you know, what do you think of this?" And I thought, well, you know, I knew when we moved out here that they had dust storms, so I just as well get used to it. But that was the only one we had.
Yeah, that was in
44.
They were still blowing around that
mm-hmm.
late.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a weird question, but it's one that I'm kind of interested in. Do you remember when you first got electricity?
I remember when we first got a wind charger, which was electricity for us.
Yeah.
We got a wind charger, a little six-volt one here before we left to go to Hooker. And, you know, had a little light hanging down from the ceiling. Thought that was great. After we went to Hooker, we got a 12-volt wind charger, and they didn't get real electricity out there until after we left.
Which was?
In 49.
Mm-hmm. So
and they were just, the place we had bought here at Perkins from Verlin's aunt, the electric lines were just then going past that place, so we in 49 we got electricity here at Perkins.
What would you run with the wind charger? Would you have a light bulb or two?
Yes, just light bulbs. Yeah.
No radio?
Yes, I'm not sure that we ran the radio off of that or just off of another battery. I don't remember. We used to just have a battery radio.
So you had to hook up the batteries to like a windmill or something like that almost?
The wind charger is, you know what a wind charger looks like, don't you? It's, you know, blades up there.
How tall is it?
Well, you get them different heights.
In my mind, I always just thought it looked like a windmill.
It looks something like a windmill, not exactly. Now, sometimes they were just on top of the house, you know, fastened on the roof. But the one we had out there was, of course, you didn't have to put it up very high out there to have wind. I suppose it's 15 feet or so, 15, 18 feet, something like that.
And it'd be connected to the batteries, and then you'd connect
the
wires to
the batteries were in the basement, and then if that's all we got gas, though, I just had to battle the coal one winter, and then there was a gas well drilled on the section where we lived. The section, they put a well down in the center of the section, and then all four quarters shattered in it.
Oh, yeah.
And we could have gas by piping it, doing the piping ourselves.
So you got natural gas?
Yes. We had the kitchen range and the heating stove, and most wonderful of all was a refrigerator that ran off of gas. And I thought, the first thing I'm going to do is to make ice cream.
Yeah.
It didn't turn out too well. It didn't make ice cream as easily as I thought it would.
Yeah.
But that was really uptown to have a refrigerator.
What about up to that time, you'd iron with
flat irons.
Flat irons.
Well, I still did, because until I got some real electricity, why, I used the flat irons.
Did you ever see those gasoline irons?
I've seen them, and my mother had one, but I don't know. It never was very satisfactory with us.
It looks dangerous to me.
That's right. I think so.
Well, if you could, say, like, going through the Dust Bowl and the Depression era, what are some things that you take with you today from that period?
Frugality. It made me very frugal. Now, I knew some people who when times got better and when they raised their children, they indulged them because they said, I don't want them to go through what I had to go through. Well, I said it never hurt me to do without, and it wouldn't hurt my children not to have everything. But and save. You know,
yeah.
you want to save because you may need it someday. And I think compassion for others who just are in bad financial conditions and are needy.
Yeah. Do you do work for people like that? I mean, do you? I guess the way you see those people has changed because of what you went through. Is that what
mm-hmm.
you're saying?
Mm-hmm. And
frugality, compassion. Anything else you think has left a mark on you, or any other things that you carry with you?
We made our own fun.
Yeah.
You know, in the school, we'd have hayrack rides, or we walked a lot to go to things, skating parties, and we found pleasure in simple things, I guess.
Hmm.
And
what was a skating party like? Would you go to a skating place, or would you skate?
Oh, well, this was sometimes go to a roller skating rink, but this was later. But it'd be ice skating.
Hmm. And what about the hayrack rides you mentioned?
Well, one of our classmates would bring the hay wagon, hay rack, and team, and meet us down at the river bridge, and we'd go around up on the bluff someplace and have a wiener roast. And one time, one of the boys had very thoughtfully brought along some grapevine, and we all tried to smoke grapevine. Let me tell you, that's not easy to do. I couldn't do it.
I've heard about people doing that. You're the first person I ever met that's tried it.
Yeah, I tried it along with everyone else.
Yeah.
And we'd hike out to Ghost Hall and have winter roast. And
how old were you when you went to Ghost Hollow?
That was when I was a junior, senior in high school, 16, 17.
This isn't what I intended to talk to you about, but I've heard a little bit about Ghost Hollow, just enough to make me curious. What is it?
Well, it's just a place down off the river road there that's kind of spooky, and I guess it's spooky because of all the stories we've heard. There was supposed to have been a man hung there, I think it was. But on this particular class party that we went to, I don't remember if it's just one boy or more than one, anyway, had a gun with blanks and is shooting it around. And something frightened one of the girls, and she started running, and that stampeded, you know, and someone shot off that, and she said, "Oh, I'm shot!" Let me tell you, that got our attention. She wasn't. She was just kidding, but we were all fired up on ghost stories already.
Yeah.
And
there you were at Ghost Hollow.
Yeah.
There's some people, a person has come in here trying to find information on Ghost Hollow, trying to find if we had any information on it, mm-hmm. And we don't. We do now, thanks to you.
I couldn't say just exactly where it is. I couldn't find it.
Is it on the north side of the river?
Yeah.
On that east-west river road somewhere. The road they go on.
Now, of course, there's a new bridge there since I finished high school. But the way the old bridge was, you'd go across it from Ripley and turn right, go down the river road, and then somewhere off down there to the left was Ghost Hollow. And
that's where the ghost came out. Well, you mentioned several things that stuck in your mind. Your first trip to the Panhandle, you remembered that guy and Guyman and you dancing back mm-hmm. and forth and different things. Is there one thing in your mind that when you think back to the 30s and the Dust Bowl period, is there one image or experience in your mind that kind of you always think about, you know, that stands out more than any other, that best... When you say, "Oh, the 30s and the Dust Bowl," and what image comes to your mind immediately? Mm-hmm. Maybe a lot of different ones.
Just the dirty 30s.
Yeah.
Dirty 30s.
Well, is there anything you'd like to mention that we haven't spoken about?
I don't know that there is.
Could I take a peek at your diaries?
I beg your pardon?
Could I take a peek at one of your diaries?
Yeah. It's kind of foolish, kind of silly.
I bet you are so glad, though, that you did this.
Yes. You know, for years I could prove my point because it was in my diary, dates and so forth.
Worked in the flower border.
Now this started in 1940. This covers when I got married and when our first baby was born and died and then that one would cover when Richard was born, our second child, and just going to Hooker. And
your first baby died?
She was a blue baby, just lived one day.
Wow.
She was born 39.
Just reading about you making ice cream.
Well, you know, we raised everything we ate back then. And my daddy had fruit trees, so that if we didn't have fruit, I got fruit from over there and canned and just...
One of the things that always amazes me is laundry. The task of doing laundry during that.
Oh, yeah.
Did you... Some people we talked to actually boiled water in big pots and...
Now, we didn't outdoors. My grandma did. When I'd visit her, build a fire into the big black pot and boil the clothes in it. But, we would wash the clothes out and then put them in the boiler with soap and boil them, and then we'd punch them. Did you ever see a puncher?
The metal thing you'd punch?
Yeah. And then take it out and run it, scrub it on the board, and then put it through the rinse water and hang it on the line. One of the first times I washed after we moved to Hooker, I had been in the habit here, if things weren't clear dry, I'd leave them out overnight. Well, I left sheets and towels and things on the line overnight out there, and I never saw them again. Came up a windstorm tonight and took them away.
Somebody in Woodward got all your clothes.
Yeah, they probably did. By then, I had a gasoline motor washing machine.
Yeah. Those seem to be big improvements.
Yes, they were, but they could be so hard to start. Sometimes you couldn't get them started and keep them going.
Now, I tried to understand how you start those. There's a...
You push down like that on the, there was a, I think kind of like start a motorcycle.
Okay, that makes sense.
They still start motorcycles like that?
Yeah. And I've always seen those pedals that you...
Yeah, have.
Okay, that makes sense. Once you got the gasoline-powered washer and it started, the laundry was easier.
It was much easier, much easier.
I can't imagine doing laundry by hand during that time period.
Yeah.
What else would you be doing? Yeah, that'd be a full time job, I think.
It was a full time job on wash day. It was a full time job on the day you ironed, because gosh, we ironed everything, and then you might spend another day patching, mending, but. That's why I really appreciate a lot of the conveniences we have now. At home, when I grew up at Ripley, we did have running water in the house, but just cold water run to the kitchen sink. But after that, then you had to pump and carry the water and... I've done it all.
Well, I'd like to thank you for coming in and talking with us.
Well, you're welcome.
I think this is a really important project that we're working on here.
Well, it's interesting to me.
Yeah.
I like to remember those things.
This is just kind of like an oral version of your diary. In 20, 30, 40 years, people can come back and listen to your tales. I just want to say thanks for being a part of it.
Well, I'm glad I could be. Yeah, really am. I often say that the people who talk about the good old days, I said the thing about the good old days, we were young then. Yeah. That's what made them the good old days.
I have to agree with you. I, this stories I hear about people's experiences doesn't make me want to go back there.
No.
No. I mean, it's more simple and less complicated.
There were some things that were good. Of course, there were a lot of good things about it, but you've got to take the whole bundle. You can't pick and choose about what you take.
Right.
And, I think it was when I raised my children, was a simpler time to raise a family, a better time. They weren't faced with a lot of the choices that children have nowadays and are allowed to do, things they're allowed to do.
Right. Well, if you can think, if you, when you get home or any time, really, if you think of any more stories or things you want to talk about, you know, that usually what happens to me is I'll get home and think, oh, I should have asked that question, or what happened. But
that's one thing I wrote, one reason I wrote a few things down there to jog my memory. One thing that I don't know if you noticed on there because I had it on another part of the sheet was the old chain letters.
No, I didn't notice that.
Well, you know about the chain letters?
Yeah, I've had some sent to me.
The first that I know about that started is this was during the Depression. You would get a letter from someone, and then you were supposed to send it on to so many other people and send a dime to this one who wrote to you. And then when these others sent it to other people and all, they sent you the dime, theoretically.
Right.
But in the post office, people would come in and buy enough stamps for those they were supposed to send to. They wouldn't be sending that dime. It was a dead giveaway by how many stamps they bought.
Did you ever send a dime back to that person?
I never did do any of that stuff. No, I thought that was a scam.
Sounds.
And of course, it went from 10 cents to from bad to worse. You know, it didn't stay at 10 cents, but.
Well, if you can think of anything, just give us a call, and we'll call you right back.
There's the old medicine shows that used to come to town.
All right. In through Ripley?
Yeah, they'd have medicine shows come through there every once in a while, and everybody went to the medicine show.
So what would it be like?
Well, they'd have some kinds of entertainment, and I can't remember what kind of entertainment they'd have, but they would hawk their medicines, you know, all these medicines, just cure anything, anything. And one time, somehow or another, we had some of their snake oil. It's supposed to cure everything, and my younger sister had a bad earache. Now, Mom and Daddy weren't at home, but so us kids were going to doctor her. We put that nearly drove her up the wall, you know, just about did her in. It hurt so bad. It,
would the medicine show people be in wagons or in trucks or
trucks or things? Yeah, they'd bring their backdrops, I guess, and all, and I guess they'd have giveaways of some sort too, because it would draw big crowds.
Mm-hmm.
And
never heard of a modern day medicine. I guess I have heard of a modern day medicine show like that, but it sounds.
I've not heard of anything like that. I don't think they. I don't think they'd be allowed to now.
Right.
Yeah.
How old were you when?
Well, that would be when I was in high school.
Yeah, and so early 30s. Is
that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Late 20s and early 30s.
What did you think about Bob Wills when you first heard him play?
Oh, I thought he was wonderful. Yeah.
I don't know what I'd give to go back and see him play. It'd be something big.
Uh-huh.
What a character he was. You remember?
Oh, yeah.
He was always...
Take it away, Leon! And, of course, we had our own little fame there from Ripley, Billy McGinty.
Yeah.
And then, who was it? Took it over then, Gray.
Otto Gray.
I knew all those people that's in that.
Yeah. Did you ever go to their dances, or...?
But back when I was a child, was pretty young, during the summer, I don't know if this was every week or what, but I know sometimes we'd go down and they would play. There was Billy McGinty and Guy Mester and Gillis Moore and Frank Sherrill and Paul Harrison and I think some others, but they just play, you know. The gazebo was setting downtown there someplace then. And,
Well, all right. I'm afraid we're taking a lot longer than I told you we would.
Well,
you got some good stories. I could talk to you for a long time.
Well, thought of something else, and my age is showing, I guess. I forgot what it was.